Donald Trump has announced that the US will send top-of-the-line weapons to Ukraine and that some European countries who are members of NATO are going to foot the bill. President Trump also threatened Russia with severe tariffs if a deal to end the war is not reached within 50 days. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte was with him in the Oval Office for the announcement and said Ukraine would get massive numbers of weapons under the agreement. Following that meeting, Donald Trump spoke to the BBC's Gary O'Donoghue, who asked President Trump about his dealings with the Russian President Vladimir Putin.
You've said you were four times close to a deal with Putin.
Are you done with him?
I mean, I know that sounds a simplistic thing.
But I'm disappointed in him. But I'm not done with him. But I'm disappointed in him. We had a deal done four times, and then you go home and you see he just attacked a nursing home or something in Kiev. I said, what the hell was that all about?
Do you trust him?
I trust almost nobody, to be honest with you.
So how do you deal with someone you can't trust?
Well, it's not a question of that. It's like, I'm disappointed that this hasn't been done.
For more on this, Patrick Bury, lecturer in Defence and Strategic Studies at the University of Bath, is on the line. Patrick, we've seen Moscow in recent weeks intensifying its aerial bombardments of Ukrainian cities. A lot of the focus has been on these Patriot systems. What are they and what difference could they make? Will they fend off those daily missile and drone strikes from Russia?
Good morning. I mean, on the one hand, it's good news that there's more Patriots going in there, and they're an important part, the top end of a layered air defence system. They're very good at shooting down ballistic missiles, which are actually the most damaging when they explode. They've got the most amount of warhead on them, and they're the most complicated to shoot down. The problem is really in these biggest attacks we've seen, it's the majority of them are these Iranian-designed, Russian-made Shahed drones, and they only cost about 50,000, and they're firing up to, 700 at Ukraine at any time. They're putting in them, flying them higher and on different paths, so they're harder to intercept. And yeah, the Patriot can shoot those down, but the problem is you don't want to be shooting those down with Patriots. You know, a Patriot missile costs, the ones that Ukrainians are using, about 3 million. So there's a massive cost asymmetry in doing that. And it's not sustainable for anybody, for the US to be producing them to be shot down by drones. So it's part of the solution of these ongoing bombardments. But what you're seeing is the Ukrainians adapt already using counter drones. So they're using their own drones to intercept those drones. And that's the kind of thing we need to get to as well, help the Ukrainians build more of those more quickly. Secondly, you're seeing more solutions like anti-drone artillery being deployed, developed and deployed, much more like the old anti-aircraft guns, say, you saw in the Second World War, but more complicated.
So any other weapons in the deal then, Patrick?
Yeah, we'll have to wait to see. There's actually no details out yet about what's going to come. Usually when these packages arrive, they would have artillery shells, mortar rounds, anti-tank missiles, lots of small arms, those kind of things. We'll have to see what comes out. And if indeed, also usually they don't tell us how many Patriot systems go in because it's so sensitive and the Russians can make deductions about that. So, but usually in the previous packages, we get a readout from the Department of Defense.
Let's talk about who's going to pay for them. As you said, they are expensive. NATO countries have promised to increase defense spending. Is this a case of put your money where your mouth is?
It is, yeah, and it's happening. You know, I mean, the last 30 years or so, Europe sat in a position where it had cheap Russian energy and cheap American security. Those days are over. You've seen the NATO allies, most of them anyway, start to pledge to increase their spending to around 5%. It's a little bit of there's a little bit of accounting going on there, the way that they're bringing in some of the statistics to do that. But nonetheless, Trump can point to that as a win to his domestic audience. They're paying their own way in defense, and they're paying for these systems and all this military kit off us. So it's win. It's a workaround as well. It looks like, I think, that the Europeans are going to start giving some of their Patriot systems, for example, and then replenish them off the Americans because the Ukrainians need them so quickly. And yeah, so yeah. It's a new way of doing business, really.
Now, Donald Trump said quote, "We want to make sure Ukraine can do what it wants to do," unquote. They are comments miles away from those in the Oval Office back in February during that infamous meeting with the Ukrainian president, aren't they? He's also given Vladimir Putin 50 days to agree a ceasefire. And we heard from that clip from the BBC, he's not done with the Russian president either. Will this put pressure on Russia to come to the table?
He's looking for leverage, isn't he? And he left that open in that conversation with Gary O'Donoghue. I think the 50 days is a bit too long, personally. I mean, the Russians are in the middle of a summer ground offensive as well. You've got the strategic air campaign going on, damaging the cities. And it's, you know, the most Ukrainian civilians were killed in the last month in the whole of the war, apparently, since the very start of it. Because of those bombardments. And on the ground, the Russians have taken, it's very slow incremental gains, like walking pace, but they have taken the most territory they've taken since about late 2022. So the momentum is still with them. And I think given a 50-day, you know, why 50 days? Why not 10? You know, 50 days puts us into September. That's, you know, almost towards the end of the fighting season. So he's looking for leverage, but he's also left a large window there. I think the tariffs in themselves as well will have repercussions if he does follow through, because obviously they're secondary tariffs. So it's basically on India and China, who are importing Russian energy now, and saying we're going to double 100% tariffs on you if you keep buying their energy. So that has major repercussions if they go through with that. It's sort of like a wider economic escalation. But he's looking for leverage. He's trying to find a carpet to pull from under Vladimir Putin. We'll have to see what happens. I think the other point is, if this, depending on what these weapons packages are there any offensive weapons in there again? Are there more Bradleys? Because one of the things Ukraine will be looking to do is try to take back territory again, hold off the Russians and then counterattack.
Okay, so a lot to come in the coming weeks. Patrick Bury, lecturer in Defence and Strategic Studies at the University of Bath. Thank you. It is 19 minutes past 7.